Good afternoon.
Hey. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. Who do we have on the line?
This is Chris and Lori.
We knew that. Nobody else yet? That's okay. All right. So how was your week and what's going on?
Kind of. Well, Kelly's on vacation this week. Lori was in New York last week until she came back. You weren't on our call last week. It was just Rob, Kelly, and I because the Mobile Montgomery office was closed here due to the hurricane. It's been kind of hectic, to be quite honest. We're plugging in the hours for the calls, and it just seems like the weeks are getting pretty full, and I'm falling behind on the follow-up from the meetings, the agenda for the upcoming meetings, and still trying to schedule. So I know this is a normal process, but I think this week is probably the fullest for me of all the weeks so far. And it's just because I went to Alabama last week and just had a great day of calls and introductions and came back late and came in the office with a bunch of messages. And before I knew it, you know, like I said, just kind of fall in line. It's going to take me a couple of weeks to kind of get ahead of this curve. I feel like I'm sliding back a little bit.
Well, and, you know, there was never an argument that this was going to be linear. You know, you're going to it's going to be dynamic. It's going to be, you know, four steps forward, one back, and frustration and all that stuff. But I think, you know, you're doing great, and don't be afraid that you know everything isn't perfect, because it's kind of like when I'd tell people, they say, "How are you so comfortable public speaking?" And I said, "Because nobody actually knows what I'm going to say." So if I change it or mess it up, they won't even notice. I just keep moving. You know, it's not like I'm doing Macbeth. So that's the way to feel about this. They don't know that they're supposed to have a executive summary until you do it, you know. So if you don't do it the first week, they're going to be fine. But once they get used to something, then you got to do it. And even if it's one line.
Yeah, and I think that's the you know, one of the educations for me has been every meeting does not have to be like every meeting was in the past, because we may be speaking to somebody or meeting four times a year now that we're monthly. Gotten better at delaying the content, not having everything happen in one meeting, and then when I do the follow-up, trying to make it as simple as possible and as brief as possible.
Yeah. Brief is better on everything. Talk about the family. You know, people say, what do I talk about? Talk about them. That's 100% customer satisfaction when you're talking about them, their family, their kids, and, the tournament the son was in, and or the grandson, and how well he's doing, and that's all good. You know, we think we always have to produce this magnificent content, which we can, but you know, you can talk about the great. You know, you just reread Influence by Robert, you know, Cialdini, and you know, these are the four. You know, the six concepts, and isn't that interesting and fun to know, because you're in the business of influencing others. So you can go a million different directions when it comes to coaching clients. It doesn't always have to be about estate planning or financial planning or anything. It can be life coaching. So that's the part that we as... You know, a lot of people in our industry are math heads, not lit heads, and they have trouble transitioning to talking about, you know, the things that are most important in people's lives, like grandchildren and streak like that.
So, I think Paul's with now.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, Paul.
Just for listening.
Doing great. So you guys were, you didn't get hit, but you got displaced for a week, huh?
Well, actually, we didn't get displaced except the clothes off. My only displacement was I closed off, sit down at like 1 o'clock that day, and nothing really happened. Rain, a lot of rain, a little wind.
Yeah.
We didn't get it, man. It was okay. Everybody here was good. Just had some, you know, knocked a few leaves off the trees. That was about it.
That's really good. We lost power for a week, but and we had a little damage to our garage in Boca, but otherwise we're just fine. So
I didn't realize that's where you were calling from. That's where you live, in Boca?
Boca Grande. I don't right now. I'm in Indiana. You know, we have nice 70-degree days here, and I don't want those 90 degrees with 90% humidity in the summer, so I come up here for the winter. I mean, for the summer, and then go down.
We're in Indiana.
I'm in Carmel, Indiana, just north of, actually, as a matter of fact, it's so funny, my adjuster that's going down to look at my place is from Indianapolis, Indiana.
What's that?
So their adjusters are coming in from all over the country because they don't have enough. So it's just, I get a kick out of it. So we're pretty safe right up here for now, anyway.
I used to have to go to Bluffton, Indiana, a lot.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big town.
No, very small.
Yeah, I know. All right, so just to reflect, Paul, any success or changes or conversations or questions about?
Sam's done a very good job of getting all of our folders done. So we got that. And
it's like 300 and something. Yeah.
Wow. That's really good.
So we're moving along at a snail's pace, but we're moving.
No, it's really, I mean, look, the commitment to client service is not one that generates immediate gratification. It's one that will pay off big time, long term.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, my mindset has been trying to, you know, getting changed to where I'm, you know, thinking more about bigger clients and not really doing what I've always done is, you know, if I see somebody with $300,000, I'll take them. So, you know, I'm fighting inertia. But we're moving.
Good. Good, good. Well, when you start to service these clients and realize the commitment that you're making, it makes you not want to have any more than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that it isn't more clients that we're going to have, but bigger clients. And we'll never have more clients than we have today. And that's the mindset. It's a completely different mindset than we had before. But it's one that gives you tremendous freedom to know that you're never going to have to work harder than you're working right now, and you can double and triple your business. You just have to get in bigger clients that look and act like the ones you have now. So you want nice.
Which is easier said than done, as the old saying goes.
Right. Or, you know, and everybody wants them, but they're not willing to pay the price to get them. And that's the difference. That's the key. So what we do is we do it step by step, week by week, moving down the path that they're not moving on because they're not willing to do the things that you need to do that will long-term pay off. So this is, you know, if you've studied psychology, this is long-term gratification, deferred gratification. And the most successful people in life are willing to do those things, and the ones that are not as successful need immediate gratification and fail to plan and do the things they need to do in order to get to the bigger opportunities.
I believe in deferred gratification as long as I get it now.
Right. We all want it now. Give me it now. Anyway, let's... All right, just to review, last week we talked about the, and we've talked about this for some time, is in our acquisition model, week 9 is all about building your pipeline. So if you haven't had a chance, go back and make sure you review that. Mastermind groups, niche mastermind groups, expanding your niche and creating a center of influence within each niche. And then this week, implementing the referral process, or we like to call it the introductory process, which is Bill Case's book. I give him full credit for it being the best referral coach there is. And people have actually, you know, called him and said, Rob says you're the best referral coach. We want you to come in and teach that. And God bless you if you do that. I think it's wonderful. He's a great, great guy, and he kind of owns this space. So I borrow from him his process and add a little addition to it, which I think makes it even better. But one of the things that we want to do is figure out who do we have now that are customers, clients, advocates, and ambassadors, because the ones that are advocates, they're pretty simple because they're willing to give you referrals. They've given you referrals in the past, but they have not given you one in the last 12 months that became a client. An ambassador is somebody that actually they became a client. So I don't think we've done this exercise. I may have talked about it, but I don't think we've done it where we actually have a list of those. I went through with one of the guys today, and he gave me his list of who were, not in terms of names, but in terms of numbers, how many he had in each category. So think of it this way. Customers, right? Those are people that buy from us, basically. Clients, those are people that listen to us and basically do what we tell them. Advocates, those are the people that do all the above, but also really love us and are willing to refer to us. And then ambassadors are ones that have given us an introduction that became a client in the last 12 months. Okay? And what I suggested to this guy who had actually done this exercise was, invite those ambassadors to a dinner, and in the invitation, tell them why they're coming, because they gave you an introduction that became a client. Now, there's a body of work out there that says you should, you know, we have in our folder a list of introductions that we've given and a list of introductions that we've received. And this is really important to have that in there. And here's why. You should, on the anniversary of the time the person opened the account, meaning the person gave you an introduction, 12 months from then, call them or send them a note, but recognize the fact that it's been 12 months since that person either was introduced or they became a client. That's up to you how you want to do it. Okay? And tell them how much you appreciate it and thank them again, because you thanked them once, right, when they gave it to you. You probably thanked them again when they became a client. And now 12 months from that day, you're going to thank them again. Now, what's that thank you going to do? What do you think that's going to do, Paul?
Encourage them to do it again?
That's it. Exactly. And can we encourage them too much? No. The reality is we don't encourage them enough, and we don't remind them enough of how much we appreciate it. So what you want to do is put that in your, and it's simple to do, just put it in your calendar every year on the anniversary. That's the phone call you need to make. And to thank them again for reintroducing. They may even forgot that they did it. But they will not forget that you called them and thanked them again. Okay, so that's how you close the loop. And that's why you want to keep that list. So you keep the list on your calendar, but keep it in your folder too. Chris, any comments or thoughts on that?
No, but I mentioned last week that we introduce the client files to clients and we show them that page. And, you know, here's a sheet. If you're ever so kind to make an introduction to me, or if we refer a CPA or attorney to you, here's where we're going to keep a list of it. I've had two people say, oh, that reminds me, you know, my friend, and I've already had one attorney send a referral in for another attorney since that started.
Fabulous. So it works.
And just talking about the sheet helps.
Yep, the sheet helps. Yep. It's wonderful. All right, so try this because, you know, we all forget, right? We forget. Where did that client come from? Oh, yeah, it came from Paul or came from Chris. Thank him again. But the natural thing is then, oh, yeah, I've got somebody else for you. So it's so if you guys want to, that's why you want to do this exercise, because you want to, you know, project upgrade would be to say, okay, we want customers to become clients, clients to become advocates, advocates to become ambassadors. So how many do we really have? And I used to take out my FAs, and I in my own private way, I would set goals for them based on what I thought they could do, right? So I had so many guys that I wanted to make into $5 million producers. I had so many that I wanted to make into $2.5 million producers, and so many into $1 million producers, and so on. I kept that list all the time on me, and I obsessed over it, okay? And it was just a project upgrade that I wanted, you know, that was what I worked on. And, of course, anything you obsess about and anything you keep in front of you and focus on, you're going to achieve. And so that's what happened. You know, those guys became $5 million producers. The others became $2.5 million. The others became $1 million and so forth. And I contend that it's almost magical that if you focus on something, you will get it.
Good or bad.
Good or bad, right. No, that's absolutely correct. So I would say to myself, okay, this is my actual number, right, of ambassadors. I have five people that actually referred somebody that became a client. My goal for next year is to have 10. And these are the people, and I'd write their names down. These are the 10 that I want to have it give me an introduction. And then I get them. I mean, it's just, you know, you just obsess until you get it. It isn't anything where I was a jerk or you need to be a jerk. It isn't. It's just keeping it in front of you. Okay, so everybody moves up. That's Project Upgrade. I think it's a good idea and will really help you. The tools that we give you to do that are a little more complicated. As I said, they come from Bill Gates, but the idea is is really, I think, to put the list together first. Figure out what it is that you want, and then you'll figure out how to get it. If you don't know why you want to learn something, you probably won't learn it. But if you know, I need to know this in order to be more effective at getting clients to give me introductions, because I want this little plan to come true. So what is it that you say to clients in order to encourage them to give you more introductions? We call it the VIPSA. Chris, have you studied this? Do you know it? Paul, either one of you?
No, what did you call it?
VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A.
VIPSA. And what does VIPSA stand for?
It's an acronym for value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. So the first thing in the old Xerox selling skills program we learned was you must establish the rationale for the call. So why are you talking about introductions? So the best way to make that transition from your client review, whether it's in person or on the phone, is to ask a simple question. And you can just end it with the answer to this question, if you'd like, because it's a good question, and the answer is very important. So what you say is, Chris, what is it that you valued from your experience with Supernova this year? Right, so what you'd say to them was, Paul, what is it that you valued from your client experience this year with our team? Or if you even want to have a more meaningful conversation, ask them, what are the three things that you valued the most from your experience with our team this year? Asking in threes is very powerful, because usually it's the third thing that's the most important. And you'll have an interesting conversation from this. And don't expect them to be prepared to answer that question, so take your time. And that you can even add, you know, while they're thinking, you can say, the reason I asked the question is because we're constantly wanting to get feedback to improve the client service experience. So if we know what you value, we will frankly give you more of that and give it hopefully in a more effective way. So they say, oh, it's, you know, well, I love your team, and I appreciate Kelly and the service that you give. It's fabulous. I appreciate the regular phone calls. You know, this has been a big eye opener for me. I've learned a lot, and I think it's been incredibly valuable for my wife and for myself. And third, you know, I didn't think I'd like the financial planning. I thought it would be too much work, but I think that's probably the most important thing that we did together this year. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it, because I knew it took a lot of your time. All right, so now you've got some really good feedback. I'm not interested in things they hate or they don't like. Some people do that. I think this isn't a conversation about that. You know, we can have that sometime, but this isn't that time. I'm interested in what they like and what they value. Because what I want them to do is pull themselves over to my side of the table and see how valuable it has been to them. Because at this point, what I'm going to do is ask their permission to talk about something that's very important. So, Mr. Kelly, what I'd like to do is, with your permission, talk about something that's very important to me. Would that be okay? Sure. Yeah. What is it? No. And you say, well, what I'd like to do is I would like to, with your permission, do a little bit of brainstorming. But what I'd like to brainstorm about is who you might know that would value this experience as much as you have. And our purpose in doing this is to not leave anybody out. Because if it means as much to you as it has, as it sounds like, we want to help those people have a better client experience. Right? So now we've transitioned to the brainstorming session. He says, okay, I kind of don't understand it, but what do you mean? Well, think of it as three concentric circles. And the brainstorming will start in the center with the people that are most valuable to you, most important in your life, to those people that are outside of that. So let's start with your family and your very closest friends, because we don't want to leave them out. They may not be qualified, but in fact, we should at least, make sure we don't skip over them. So let's start with your parents. Nope, they're not qualified. How about your brother's sister? Yeah, my brother just sold his business. He needs to talk to me. He's kind of a scatterbrain, but got the money now, and he needs you. Okay, great. What's his name? Warren. Okay. So you get the name. You don't go into profiling him at this point. You're just interested in brainstorming. Question? Okay, so then we go through the family and their very closest friends, and then the next circle is people you play golf with. These may not be your very best friends. But people from work, people that you may vacation with or know, consider them friends, but not as close as family and your very best friend. Of those people, can you think of someone that would need us, value us, and would be a good fit for us? Fit is a very important word. Value us, need us, and they'd be a good fit. And they'd say, yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a guy I think you'd like him. Because you don't want jerks. You want to make that clear, Even though you play golf with somebody, doesn't mean they're going to be a good fit. This guy would be a good fit. He's a nice guy, and he is, he's retiring. And he complains about, I don't think he's a complainer. I just think he's had a bad experience in the equities market. And his name is Warren Harding. Okay, yeah, perfect. Then you might get two or three names from that. And then the final circle is the one where you reemphasize your minimums, where you say to them, okay, now in the larger circle here, it's people that maybe your boss or somebody that you know from the club or you know from your neighborhood or a friend that really would be highly qualified, would have the money, but you aren't necessarily the closest to. And they say, oh, yeah, if you could get, John Smith's account, he just, he invented the answering machine. He's worth millions. Okay, perfect. Then what you do is you go back and say, okay, let's just put these in order of priority. Who would you suggest would be the person that would need the most attention the soonest? Oh, my brother. He's the one that needs it the most. Then you profile your brother. tell me about Warren, okay? And you go into detail on him because, you know, nobody's going to know more about him than your client. It's his brother. Good, bad, you know, all the different interesting things about him. How many kids does he have? What are their names? I would get as much detail as you can. Now, next step, get the introduction. All right, you know your brother 10 times better than anybody else. How would you suggest that we meet? You notice what I said. You know him better than anybody else. How would you suggest that we meet? You're asking for his advice. That's the A in the FIPSA process. So the S was suggestions, which we've been making with our circles, and the A is advice. How would you suggest that we meet? And he said, well, he's in North Carolina. I said, all right, why don't we do a three-way conference call? Would that make sense? And then you can introduce him and then jump off the line after you've made the introduction. He and I can get to know each other. Would that work? He said, oh, that'd be perfect. Okay, when will you be talking with your brother? I'll probably talk. I've talked to him almost every day. All right, so what would be a good time? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, today is, what is today? Oh, yeah, today's Monday. And I always like to do that, hesitate a little bit. Like, this isn't rehearsed. So today's, Monday, right? Okay. So would next Monday make sense at this time? Yeah, that would probably work. I'll check with him, but yeah. All right, so today is Monday. Why don't you, you're going to talk to him this week. Why don't you send me an email confirming it? I'll send the, I'll go ahead and send the phone numbers. You then send me what time, you know, it's scheduled for, and I'll set it up. If I don't hear from you by what day, Friday, Thursday or Friday, I'll just check back with you either with email or with a phone call. Is that okay? He goes, sure, that's fine. That'll work. Now, you see, you've done a million things here, but one of them is you maintain control throughout the whole thing. The last thing you need is a name. That's not what we're after here. When you're dealing with high net worth clients, you need to meet them. You need to differentiate yourself immediately from other people. So in that initial conversation, you want to be a great listener, which is what most people don't do. You want to learn about them. You want to affiliate with them, meaning you want to find out what you have in common. And then, in some simple way, you want to differentiate yourself by being organized, by being focused. You're going to differentiate yourself. Being a good listener, you're going to differentiate yourself. Okay? So that's the process. It's outlined in the workbook. It's outlined in a chapter in Bill Cates' book. I write about it in my book. We did a webinar on it. So you can, and then you're going to have this recording so you can practice it. But, you know, it won't work unless you use it, and it won't work unless you practice it and get good at it. And it'll work better and better the more you practice it. Think about how much you practice something that you love, whether it's fly fishing or golf or tennis or anything that you do really well, you practice the hell out of it and feel like a bit of a fool before you get to the point where you're any good at it. And you've all been willing to do that, make yourself feel a little foolish, in order to get to the point where you feel good about it and you're pretty good at the sport. So don't be uncomfortable that you feel uncomfortable doing it. Know that if you practice it, it will work. And as good as you are in practicing it, and the more you practice and the more you use it and try it out and play, the better you'll do. But the majority of people are just simply not willing to do that. So a wonderful tool goes unused by the majority of people. But that's the way life is, right? Questions on VIPSA?
And that's all in both the Supernova Guide and in Bill Cates' book, is that what you're saying?
That's right, yeah. And I did a webinar with Bill Cates, too.
Yeah, there's a link on one of the pages we found.
Yep. But I like this model better than what he's even teaching today. Today, he's a little more casual with it. I like this really focused model. Because even when we did our new webinar, I don't think it was as good as what he used to teach. Because to me, I want it simple. I want it straightforward. Because I'm not talking with a client that is dissatisfied. I'm talking with a client that is an advocate and loves me.
So let me clarify one point, if I could, Rob. Because the minimums were set in an average of the top 20% of clients, I'm assuming this conversation needs to happen with those who at least have the money that you're going to clarify as your minimum.
That's right. So your target is the top 20% of your practice. Your intention is to double the number of people in that top 20%.
So if we're dealing with 70 people and the top 20 is 14, we're only going to have this call 14 times.
Yeah, but you also are going to have it with people that love you, but it's like, for example, my brother's son-in-law is a financial advisor, and he loves his daughter, and therefore he's very anxious to refer business to him. So you don't always, and yet my brother isn't an ultra-high net worth client. So you can be a non-high net worth client and your minimums and be a big advocate for you.
I'm waiting for that conversation, though, when I name my minimum to a person who has, 40% of my minimum, and they say, wait a second.
No, but, I mean, that's an easy conversation. Your value isn't all in the amount of assets that you have with us.
Yes. Yes.
Your value can be in our relationship and the things you do for us and the introductions that you make. Those are just as important. You may not have 5 million, may not have 2.5 million, but you introduced me to 3 people that do, and guess what? You're more than a valued client. You're an ambassador. And they go, wow.
By the way, I was in my town last Thursday, and I had this conversation with 3 clients and four clients. The last one I met with, I gave the whole conversation of, we found ourselves with more clients than we could provide the level of service with. What we did is we introduced a number of clients to new clients so that we could offer the level of service we wanted. By the end of the long conversation, it wasn't that fast. She looked at me and she said, "So who am I working with now?" And I said, "Me."
That's what they expect.
I totally misunderstood it for a Dear John conversation.
Right. No, that's what they say. It's that or how much more is this going to cost?
Yeah.
It isn't, oh, my God, this is a stupid idea and aren't you rude to do it. It's never that. It's always, oh, my God, you've moved up. And are you taking me with you, or am I left behind? And if you're going, how much more am I going to have to pay for this concierge service? Because people know that things like this cost money. So don't be afraid of that conversation. It's really a good one, because in many cases it changes the relationship. They see you different then. From then on, it's kind of reintroducing yourself as a high producer, an important person in the community. And they go, whoa, okay, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have you then. You're creating scarcity in their mind, which has value. Everybody wants what they can't have. Everyone wants something that's scarce or expensive. I use the analogy to the iPhone, where they really are saturated the market for new buyers of iPhone. So what did they have to do? Increase the price. Create more value. Price, you know, the contents are worth $540, but the price tag is $1,000. So people are very interested in owning that, just like they are a Gucci tie or a Ferrari car or anything. It's a symbol of the status that they've achieved, and so they want it, and they don't care how much it costs. So, I mean, how do these, you know, Hermes and all these people sell $15,000 handbags? Well, it's just a handbag, for God's sakes. It costs as much as a car used to. But, you know, the ladies like carrying them down the street and let people know that they got the money. So that's, to me, what you're creating is this value of scarcity. So it kind of is the opposite of what we think it's going to do instead of, I mean, there's a company here in Indianapolis that is in the financial services business, and on the front page of their website in bold letters is our minimum is $5 million. Now, do you think people that read that think they're rude? No. I think they think that, you know, somebody with $15 million comes along and goes, yeah, okay, this may be the place for me then. Questions on VIPSA? Who's willing to try it?
I will.
Yeah, try it. I mean, just practice it and then try it out. You know, I've got a guy I'm coaching that's newer in the business, and my question every week is, how did you scare the hell out of yourself this week?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not scaring the hell out of ourselves this week, then we're probably not doing enough, right? We're not taking enough risk. We're not pushing ourselves. We're not changing. We're not growing. So force yourself to take some risk every week and you will grow. It's a great question to ask your kids at the dinner table. You gotta be careful with teenagers.
They might tell you.
I know. Yeah, I walked on top of a bridge. I was going, yeah. Ah. All right, general questions on Supernova or anything about the process?
Just trying to find 2 more hours in every day.
Yep.
I know. Well, this will come, you know, the reason we, you know, in many cases, you're in the middle of the storm of building Supernova folders and talking to clients and doing the rest of it. The reason I teach this on an ongoing basis is not because I'm trying to make you crazy, but to give you the sense of there is opportunity when I reassign these small accounts that I can grow. That there's, you know, there's 7 different strategies that we have to grow. I just need to adopt a couple of them, and I'm going to more than make up for the loss of any of these smaller clients. And in fact, it's going to be my plan going forward for doubling my business and tripling. So I have to teach you this stuff, even though you may not be able to absorb it all, so that when we're at the end of the 12 weeks and you're up and running on Supernova, we can then go back and say, okay, of the strategies we've talked about, did any of them sink in? Are you using any of them? And if we are, which ones are working, which ones aren't, and which ones do we have to review in order to help you to get to where you want to go? And you're gonna sense the ones that are the best fit for you. You know, we're going to be talking about social prospecting and joining boards and becoming involved in the community in order to influence people. Well, the question is, you know, are you comfortable doing that? Do you have the time to do that? Is it something that fits in with your overall? Are you already doing that and you already get clients from it? It's a big part of your life. Maybe we do more of it. Maybe we do it more intentionally. But you get the chance to kind of reflect on the whole program because we cover all seven strategies in the 12 weeks. We could just spend the time on segmentation and organization and get you up and running, but your interest in acquisition, I say, suggest would be somewhat diminished if you don't teach it at the same time I'm giving you the other stuff. Because you got to see how it all fits together. You know, when do I do this? Well, you do it at the end of the in-person meetings. One guy actually does it as a separate meeting. He goes through the process and suggests and teaches them how it works and then says, look, why don't we give you a couple of weeks to think about this and set up another appointment and we'll go through this. And the person goes, oh, that's great, thanks. And he actually does that. And, of course, it works very successfully. Because, of course, he does it. I taught this to one guy, and he sat down with my wife and I on a train. We were going to Vienna, I think. And it happened to be on a recognition trip. And he got six or seven names out of my wife. And half of them became clients.
Can you bring your wife on the call next week?
She's very good. You know, she always carried cards with her and was one of my biggest advocates. She was a riot. She was very comfortable. All right, boys. Any questions? Anything? Anything? All right, keep pounding away at it. You know, have fun, make it fun, keep pounding away. Try the VIPSA process, it works, and you've got, you know, 100-odd satisfied people that you can try it out on, so that's a nice number.
Hey, Paul, this is just a FYI to you.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I can, the week that I'm halfway decent at doing this is I try to block off some hours. Maybe 2 hours in between now and the next call, just for supernova stuff. Because if I don't schedule blocks on the calendar to reread the book or to try to get the referral book or try to do the pipeline or just some assignment supernova before I know it, you know this. Before I know it, it's Monday afternoon again, and we're having a call, and I'm trying to remember what we talked about last week. So I've done it maybe 50% of the time, but try to go ahead and block off 2 hours in the next 5 days to just look at the supernova stuff.
Yeah, I need to do that. I have not done a good job at that. I've been focusing on doing the folders, doing financial plans, calling people, but I have to say that I have not read the book. I read the hardcover book that Rob wrote, but I have not read. I just kind of skimmed over that. The paperback workbook.
Yeah.
But I know Pam did it. Lewis and Travis have read it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of keeping me up to speed.
Well, we do what we people, as my dad always said, do as I say, not as I do. said, Dad, that doesn't have much credibility. They really do see what we do versus what we say. So it's very important to set a good example and to actually, you know, try this stuff. And you guys are good. You wouldn't be where you are if you weren't successful and courageous and bold and willing to take risks and just, you know, do it now. And as they say with Nike, do it, you know, just do it. And set the time. And the worst that's going to happen is you know, you flub a word or so. But as I used to say in my speeches, you know, nobody knows that I made a mistake because nobody knows what I'm going to say. So, you know, you just don't worry about it. Just go and do the best you can. Practice it. Practice it with each other. Help the team to get better at it. And then go and try it on a client you can trust. And don't try and wing it. Don't try and just say, well, sort of this. You gotta actually, you know, it's not Macbeth, but you gotta do it pretty close to that. So just practice it until you get the words right. And the words, there's some really important words in there that, as you know, words are powerful. The right words will make things work. Just like the supernova speech, if you have that down, clients will love it. If you don't, they won't understand what you're talking about. So that's just the difference between preparation and execution. You guys know that in Alabama. I mean, it's all about the process, right?
I don't know if Paul, you an Alabama fan?
I'm not. I'm not much of the process.
You don't win national championships without process. So.
Although I did have to wear an Alabama shirt this weekend because my uncle died, and I was a pallbearer. And he wanted all the pallbearers to wear an Alabama shirt. So
wow.
I had an Alabama shirt.
Well, congratulations, and I'm sorry to hear your uncle's passing, but I'm not surprised. The last time I was at a funeral in Tennessee, I went in the back room, and there was a casket all in Tennessee colors. It was amazing. They call them die-hard fans.
Yeah.
They are really, really committed.
He was buried in an Alabama shirt. He said one of his last wishes was, you know, he'd worn a coat and tie all his life and didn't want to be buried in one.
Oh, he's a character, huh?
Yeah.
That's great. Great story. All right. I'll talk to you guys next week. Good luck and have fun with it. All right?
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
See you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.